Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
It is currently 6:15. I've been looking at different weather forecasts, trying to figure out the chance for showers today. And one forecast I'm looking at says there's a possible risk of severe weather today. Wind and hail are possible. Well, wind is the greatest threat. And then they say we have a 24% chance for showers. Well, the lady from the National Weather Service yesterday said there was about an 80% chance for showers today. And I don't understand what's going on. Tomorrow, they're saying scattered thunderstorms, 53% chance for showers. Again, what I was hearing from the different weather people was an 80% chance for showers if you're going to Jazz Fest. So I don't quite know how that works with if it's a 40% chance of rain where you are or a 40% chance for everybody getting rain. But either way, get ready. There could be some rain today or tomorrow. We're going to try to talk about tariffs and supply chain shortages with this professor of supply chain practice at Syracuse University. We're having a hard time getting them. President Trump saying that the kids are going to have to get maybe two toys this year, two dolls instead of 30, which led me to do some checking, and I found out that Nintendo is getting ready to lay off a Mario brother, and that Yoshi is going to have to take a pay cut. Thanks to my kid playing video games for the background and craft that joke. But the president says there's going to be some pain before some gain, and that got me to thinking about how much pain are you willing to put up with, and how do you gauge gain? And with America, with a free economy, it would seem like you can get as many dolls as you want if you have the money, right? Instead of two, instead of 30. But how are you looking at these tariffs? Because I can understand the pain if there is gain, but how are you going to measure the gain? And if it's a tariff just for the sake of tariff, well, that's one thing. But the other thing is when it comes to bringing manufacturing back to the country, if, say, dolls are being manufactured in the country, is that where you want to work, or is that where your kid wants to work in a doll manufacturing plant, or do you want somebody else to do that? Do you want your kid or yourself working in a manufacturing plant that makes shirts or what have you, or would you prefer somebody else do that in a different area? Because I think it goes to you got to watch what you ask for because you might just get it, right? So if the tariff is to bring manufacturing back, and it's just a threat and it doesn't change anything, I guess that's a couple of different issues. Major retailers, including representatives from Walmart and Target, met with Trump, and they discussed how tariffs would affect their imports. So let's go to our guest right now. I understand he's ready. Patrick Penfield, professor of supply chain practice at Syracuse University. How you doing, Patrick?
Good morning, Tommy. Good. How are you?
I'm okay. I was getting around before you came on and said that with the tariffs, Nintendo was going to have to lay off a Mario brother and Yoshi was going to have to take a pay cut.
That sounds about right, Tommy. It's not looking good in regards to what's happening into the economy with tariffs.
So let's talk about that, because the president said that shelves are going to be open. Maybe the children will have two dolls instead of 30. Maybe the two dolls will cost a couple of bucks more. Now, I can understand sacrifice if we're in times of war or those kind of things, but this is sacrifice based on a president's plan. Is that accurate or not? I'm not taking on President Trump or anything else. I'm just talking about, in reality, what we're talking about bottom line here.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I don't have, you know, political ideology. I don't really go either way. I'm an independent just for all, you know, just to, you know, our cards on the table. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think the issue is that is there a plan? And I think that's kind of what's happening. We're not really sure, you know, what the plan is. So you enact tariffs and then you decide, hey, we're going to do some exemptions and then the tariffs on everything. And it just seems like the consumer or your listeners are the ones that are going to suffer the most because of these tariffs.
When it comes to the time frame of this, in the abstract, it's like, okay, yeah, sure, there's going to be this, there's going to be that, it's going to be that. But when it comes to actually hitting the pocketbook or hitting the supply chains or what's going to be on the shelves, what's the time frame on that, Patrick, as far as you know now? Because maybe we should take a step back, because I don't even know where we stand with tariffs now, what's exempt, what's not, what the tariffs are on. I know I saw a news piece yesterday about stuff from China, baby doll, baby clothes, I think it was, or strollers or those kind of things that are subject to the 145% tariffs on China. Tell me who collects that, who's paying that now, what's the situation?
Yeah, so let me explain, Tommy, especially to your listeners. So how a tariff works is, let's say I'm in New Orleans and I buy pens, and the pen is a dollar, and I buy those pens from China. So when they come into the port, what will happen is customs will charge me 145% of my, you know, my dollar pen. So in essence, I'll be paying another $1.45 in addition to the dollar.
The importer.
So that money, yes. The importer. Yeah. So custom collects that. That goes to the government. The importer now is paying $2.45 for that pen that used to cost them a dollar. So that's kind of how the tariffs are working. And so our three largest trading partners are Canada, Mexico, and China. And so those are the three that we really should be focused on. So Mexico and Canada are being hit with that universal 10% tariff in addition to other tariffs with aluminum and steel. I think it's about 25%. And then with China, it's 145%. So this is, you know, as far as what we're seeing in the ports, because the retailers, I think, were kind of waiting to see exactly what was going to happen with Trump's policies. And I think they were expecting some type of exemptions. So they have been ordering. And so we have seen it. And actually, the next 2 weeks, there will be 35% less ships than we've seen last year. Overall, it's like 40. We're down about 40% as far as the amount of ships that are going through the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach, and that's the gateway from Asia. That's usually where all your imports are coming from. So, Tommy, to answer your question, we'll probably start seeing bare shelves, I would think, in the middle of the summer. So that's what I would see, and it's going to be across the board. I think most of your listeners will probably see it with apparel, clothing, shoes. When you go into a Walmart or a Target, you'll start to see those consumer products not on the shelves. And so it'll be kind of alarming if you're a consumer.
I get a text here from a number, an ardent Trump supporter, apparently says, "Oh, y'all can't suffer a little with the tariffs. No pain, no gain. Suck it up." And I understand that, but we'll talk about what the gain would look like, ultimately what the end game is, because pain for the sake of pain is nonsense. 622 traffic now, WWL. Me, Tucker, WWL, talking about tariffs with Patrick Penfields, professor of supply chain management at Syracuse University. Professor, when it comes to people talking about no pain, no gain, when it comes to the pain that's being felt right now, to be clear, if we're going to follow the money, doesn't matter if it's Democrat, Republican, whomever, the money that people are paying for tariffs right now is going to the U.S. Treasury, correct?
That's absolutely correct.
Okay. And then somebody else says, it's so this guy is okay with unfair trade balances where the USA is holding the short end of the stick. But when it comes to trade balances or imbalance of trade, that's not necessarily
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
A bad thing for the U.S. economy, is it?
Absolutely not, especially for consumers, right? So that's, you know, that's the thing. Competition is what drives down prices, right? So I don't disagree with the president's focus on manufacturing, because manufacturing is what creates wealth. It's this scattershot approach, right? You know, it's probably the best analogy I can give you, Tommy, is if you're going to war, you don't want to fight a war on all fronts. You know, you just want to fight it on one front. Here, we're at war with the whole world, you know, which doesn't make sense. You know, if you're going to go ahead and enact tariffs, let's be strategic about it. Let's really focus on the industries that are really going to create wealth in the United States, such as, you know, car manufacturing, chip manufacturing, medical devices, pharmaceutical, defense. You know, those are the areas that the United States should focus on. Why do we want to get into pen manufacturing or T-shirt manufacturing or, you know, things that, again, are just of low value? That stuff is never really going to make sense to come back here to the States. And unfortunately, you know, this is kind of what we're going to see. We're going to be paying more, especially for apparel, sneakers, shoes. You know, that stuff is, you know, never come back to the United States. And it doesn't make sense for us to do just because it's you know, a low-paying type jobs.
So somebody texted in and said, no one can explain how any of this is going to help the average American over the next decade. Can you, Professor?
Yeah, this isn't going to help the average person. And unfortunately, that's the sad part about it is, again, it's a regressive tax. And what that means is that us as consumers are going to pay that tax. So, yeah, the people that aren't paying a lot, that aren't making a lot of money, they're the ones that are going to suffer the most, you know, versus the very wealthy. And I think that's the thing that sometimes people don't understand. So, again, I don't disagree with what the president's doing. He's just not being very strategic about it. And so, again, that's the problem is, again, this is why we're going to see this, you know, this inflation that's going to hit us pretty hard in summer.
So what ideally would you like to see done?
I would like to see a pause on all tariffs. And ideally come up with a plan. Let's say, okay, we want to bring manufacturing here to the States. Let's be strategic about it. Let's look at those high-paying jobs. Let's look at those jobs that are really going to add value to the United States. Because, you know, manufacturing does create wealth. However, let's be strategic about that manufacturing. Let's do this. Let's work one country at a time. Why do we have to have this huge, you know, tariff fight with everybody in the world? It doesn't make any sense. I would focus on our three biggest trading partners and then work our way down. Why are we trying to make trade agreements with, you know, small countries that really we don't import much from? It's silly.
So what would one tariff argument, one tariff being placed on what one country with what product would benefit the United States? If you can give me a case study.
Yeah, so I would probably focus on China. I would reduce you know, this 145% tariff across the board, because that doesn't make sense. What I would focus on is pharmaceuticals, right? And I'd say, okay, here's what we're going to do with pharmaceuticals. We are going to go ahead and put a tariff on this, and we're going to actually, you know, try to produce our own medicine here in the United States. So that's one. That's one focus I'd have. A couple other maybe is chip manufacturing. I'd say, okay, we're going to put tariffs, you know, increase the tariff level on chip manufacturing because we want the chip manufacturers here, because those create really great jobs. And Tommy, in this area, we have Micron that's going to be hopefully building a facility here. Chip manufacturing, you know, just the average salary, there's supposed to be 9,000 employees that are going to be hired at this particular chip plant. The average salary is $100,000, right? That's the type of manufacturing that we want here in the States. So I think chip manufacturing, pharmaceutical manufacturing, and then maybe looking at medical devices. Again, stuff that is really very important here to the United States that, again, you know, we can do well and hopefully create more wealth and actually make people more rich versus poor.
Thank you. Appreciate your time. Patrick Penfield, professor of supply chain practice at Syracuse University. Not everything President Trump does is good. Not everything he does is bad. I'm all for bringing manufacturing back to the United States, helping out the U.S. economy, but paying tariffs to dump more money into the U.S. Treasury, I'm not really crazy about that, because keep in mind, they're going to spend everything you send them. We'll talk to Bill Cassidy when we come back, 6:30, time for WWL First News. 6:45, quarter till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, on this Friday morning. It'll be a little bit rainy today, rainy tomorrow. Better by Sunday. I'm trying to get a handle on the timing and Jazz Fest and all of that stuff, but I would just say be ready for some rain if it happens. We are joined now by U.S. Senator Bill Cassidy. Yes, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good, Tommy. How are you, man?
I'm okay. You know, I just heard a commercial just now about the tariffs and the economy tanking. I talked about tariffs, the president. Tim, play that soundbite, if you would, please. I don't think the president's grandkids going to have less dolls. It's going to hit people differently when it comes to these tariffs. One thing that does concern me is that any money that's being collected from tariffs is going into the U.S. Treasury, and it seems as though the government's going to spend as much money as you give it. So when it comes to pain and gain and tariffs and long-range plans, not everything President Trump does is good, not everything he does is bad. Give me your thoughts on tariffs, because you've been a big debt and deficit guy throughout the time you've been in Washington, especially as it relates to Social Security.
Absolutely. So first, let's just say that most Americans think that it's the president. Let me start over. The president has a goal of how do we make this economy more fair to our fellow Americans. And the fact that another country would charge tariffs on our goods that are higher than the tariffs we charge on their goods just doesn't seem fair. And you can speak about specific industries in Louisiana, be it shrimp or rice as commodities or other products, in which our folks feel like they're being put out of business by tariffs and tariff-like activity in other countries. So the president wants to make that fair. And one way is to say, okay, you have a tariff on us, we're going to put a tariff back on you. We've seen the response. Already countries right off the bat, Cambodia, Vietnam, a major trading party, Israel, all came to the table, said, listen, we will lower our tariffs. That's all a positive thing. Now, is it going to be tomorrow? No. But is it a process that they're working through to make this economy more fair for the average American? Yes. And might there be a bump in the road? Yes. But at the end, the goal is to have a better economy for us all, and that's a pretty good goal.
So do you think it's going to work? That, I guess, when it comes to, you know, no pain, no gain, I'm getting texts about that and people that are buying into the tariffs. How much pain, who is it going to affect, and how do we judge gain? How do we know when we've won?
Well, we'll know if Vietnam, who's a major trading partner, if they lower their tariffs so that not only do we have more made in America in the United States, but more made in America in Vietnam, which means the goods we produce can go there without them sicking a big tariff on us, then we've won. Mm-hmm. Now, we'll still get their goods because our tariffs are lower than theirs. We want them to get our goods, and that creates better jobs for our fellow Americans. That will be the way we will judge it. And that's a good goal. We want better jobs for and more jobs for us. And so, and the president's trying to attack that in a variety of ways. One's the tariffs, but two's the investment. Mm-hmm. And so as we get more investment here, then those jobs will be created. We got a better economy for us all. That's the goal.
Let me ask you about executive orders and the president, because something that keeps sticking in my mind is, I know you and I have had conversations, as have other members of the delegation, and local politicians as well, that told me President Biden could change the whole flood insurance program with the stroke of a pen in an executive order. Well, now we got President Trump that's issuing a lot of executive orders on a daily basis. I get them emailed to me every day. We have Mike Johnson, who is the Speaker of the House, Steve Scalise, Majority Leader in the House. It would seem like timing is everything, and if President Biden could fix the flood insurance program or give Louisianians a break with the stroke of a pen, President Trump could do the same thing. And considering Mike Johnson's the Speaker of the House and Steve Scalise, the extraordinary power they have, as a majority leader, any chance of that happening, or have you had any conversations about that?
That's a great idea, Tommy.
Well, thank you.
If we're talking about an economy, economy that works better for us all, then obviously the cost of homeownership is a big deal. And it's on my mind because I've been working with my staff. We've had four or five conversations this past week on flood insurance reform. So it's something front and center. So what I'll ask my staff to do is to send a letter to the president, and we'll communicate directly asking him to do an executive order to fix some of the issues that have been there with flood insurance. What a great idea, and thanks for prompting it.
It would seem like if Biden could do it, then Trump can do it. And we have such influence now in Louisiana. It's like, you know, you got to take advantage of it when you got it, right? Because timing's everything. Let's talk about what else you've been working on, Senator.
Yeah, so we've been working on fentanyl is a huge issue. We've talked about this before, Tommy. Mm-hmm. And I want to, again, give a prop shout out to the president. In his first 30 days, he lowered illegal immigration across the U.S.-Mexican border to the lowest in decades, and with that disrupted the flow of fentanyl. I passed something called the Halt Fentanyl Act. Why is this important? Tommy, everyone listening knows of somebody affected by fentanyl oftentimes somebody who's died from an overdose. We now have strategies by which we can give Narcan to reverse the flow of fentanyl, to reverse the effects of fentanyl. So my whole Fentanyl Act, which has passed the Senate, it'll pass the House soon and be signed into law by the president, says that if a cartel, a criminal, is selling something which is fentanyl-like, not quite fentanyl, but fentanyl-like, it addicts and it kills like fentanyl, then they're just as guilty as if they have fentanyl itself. It's one more tool for law enforcement to go after the criminals promoting people dying from something like fentanyl. Very pleased about that, and I look forward to a signing ceremony where the president signs it, and I'm getting a pen with his name inscribed on it, celebrating the passage.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I was getting ready to ask you, if you can get an executive order signed with flood insurance based on my idea, I sure would like a pen if you can get me one.
You want a pen, brother? I'll get you a pen.
I do. I'm serious. As it relates to flood insurance, if we can get an executive order signed to bring down flood insurance rates and get FEMA under control, and it seems like when you talk about government overreach and bureaucracies that are out of control, FEMA would be one of them, especially with the methodology when it comes to the risk rating 2.0, which I don't think we ever did find out, did we?
Well, so your point, though, the risk rating 2.0 is a FEMA policy which can be reversed with the stroke of the pen, and we're going to approach the president on that. And I'm optimistic because this president wants to do a series of things which help our fellow American, not the rich guys, but the folks who are driving their 10-year-old pickup truck, going to work, coming home, kissing their spouse, sending their kids off to the softball game in the late evening, and going to watch them. Those are the people he sympathized with, and the cost of home ownership is part of that. If we can lower the cost of flood insurance, that helps those families.
I'm counting on you, Senator. Get it done.
Thank you, Tommy.
Any other final thoughts before we let you go or not? Something else you're working on?
We're always working on lots of stuff, man. Working on lots of stuff. We're trying to work on something that would address the fact that when we produce goods in the United States, we take care of air pollution. When they make those same goods in, say, China, they don't. That lowers our cost of manufacturing by 20%, makes their goods cheaper on the world market than ours, but they're exporting their pollution to us. We're trying to address that. We think we're getting a lot of support from industry. We think we're getting support from the administration. We'd like to put that fee out there for anybody trying to lower their manufacturing costs to steal our jobs by dumping their pollution on us. Very excited about that because we're getting a lot of support from industry, a lot of support from unions, and I think it sounds like we're getting support from the administration.
Thank you, Senator. Appreciate your time. Stay in touch. Senator Bill Cassidy, Senator Dr. Mr. Bill Cassidy, 654, 6 till 7. I sure hope we can get something done with flood insurance rates and President Trump can sign an executive order, because they said Biden could do it, and if Biden can do it, I would think Trump can do it. 6 till 7, traffic now, WWL.